the sod show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show with Brian and Peter. Good afternoon, Peter.
Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Listen, let's get it out of the way first of all. 087-977-1032 for texts. And on Twitter, it's #SodShow.
Yes, indeed it is. Hey, for those who are also around the Dublin City Centre area this evening after the show from about 4:30 onwards, myself and your good self will be having our Christmas party.
Will, and you have to tweet us if you want to join us, because we're not given the location on the radio, okay?
Yeah, because we drink sensibly and all of those sorts of cliches to go with. But if you check the hashtag #SodShow, you'll be able to find out where we are and our travels. Also, a shout out to the Kulsh.ie crowd, who will be Christmas carol singing from the hours, I believe, of about 1 a.m. onwards at the top of Grafton Street for charity. Fair play to them. Well done. I will possibly see you later on.
I'm going to pick up on that point in a few moments with regard to something you did last weekend. Yes. On today's programme, we'll be going to the Science Gallery and we'll be going through a list of 15, which becomes 14, excellent prezzies you wouldn't have thought of for the Christmas stocking fillers. For, as Peter says in the interview, for the fillers that normally become socks, jocks and aftershave.
Well, I have to... yes. I haven't bought myself aftershave, socks, jocks, as you like to call them, since I was approximately 18 years of age. Do you know that? Like, I've never...
And before 18, someone else bought them.
Yes, okay, moving straight on. I do have to give a couple of shout-outs. The first one came in from the guys who do the Greenyland books. Gordon Goes to Greenyland is the first book in the Greenyland series. The story is divided into seasons with charming poetry introducing each part, and they use wonderful illustrations throughout the book. The idea is to teach the young reader about the environment and the natural cycles of life in a fun and gentle way. What may be of note to the listeners is, as part of their 1 year celebrations, Greenyland are giving back to the community with their Share Greeny Story campaign. With every book purchased from greenyland.ie, they will send a second book free of charge to encourage the sharing of the Greeny Story with neighbours, family, school friends, a charity or the local library. As a result, more children will learn about the environment, growing produce and the natural cycle of life with and from each other. I have to say, I was posted one of the Greenyland books by Morag Kelly. I did mean to bring it up some time ago, Morag. My apologies for that. It is done in a very, very friendly way, and it is a nice way of I suppose, getting it from the 3-year-old, 4-year-old, read it to your child, that kind of a level, and upwards kind of a book. But it's also quite smart, I would have to say, in how it was done. Also of note news this week is a note in from the Centre for Alternative Technology. They are based, it's cat.org.uk if you're looking for theirs. And with the fantastic help of their supporters, Zero Carbon Britain 2030 was launched in Parliament last year, and it's been incredibly well received. They are looking to raise another few bob. If you have never been to the cat.org.uk website, the Centre for Alternative Technology, it is worth its weight in gold. The centre they have over there in Wales is phenomenal. And if you ever wanted to learn how to build a house from straw, do you know, I tell you, the last thing I bought off their website, Brian, do you remember in the 1980s my grandfather had one, and you got all your paper, your newspapers, and you made it into a kind of a paper mache, and then you put it into a press and you pushed it down, and it made almost briquette shaped paper mache.
Fire logs,
yeah. Mm. But out of newspaper. That kind of stuff, but going backwards. And it's all of the old skills, a lot of the old skills, a lot of the old arts. Well worthwhile checking out the courses that they do. But again, for more information, if you head to cat.org.uk. And that email came in to me from Paul Allen. Thanks very much for that, Paul.
Okay, now on Dublin City FM 103.2, we're going to do something that's not done often on radio. We're going to get the two presenters and teleport them across the city. And now we're going to Pierce Street.
103.2 Dublin City FM, and it's approaching Christmas. We're shopping, and it's Peter and Brian at the Science Gallery shop.
Yeah, we came back into the Science Gallery. We've had this conversation before, Brian, about not ending up with the socks, jocks and aftershave, the trio usual for any grown man who is able to grow a Movember. And congratulations to all those involved in that. On that note, one man with a constant mow is Connor from the Science Gallery. Connor, how are you since we last spoke?
Hi, good. Yeah, it's been very busy here. Had loads of visitors and loads of events on, so it's been great keeping me busy.
We're in the shop this time as versus at the water exhibition, which is still running, as a by the way. Some of the things that I saw here the last time I was... we need that. No, we need it, seriously. Yeah. Thanks, you're all right. So we're halfway through. What we've got in front of us is a selection of about 15, 20 bits and bobs that we think would be groovy, funky, decent, cool presents, I think it's fair to say. And a gentleman just came in and took one of the things that we thought was cool, which I think is the coolest thing ever, so we probably got it somewhat right as far as I'm concerned. We're now down to 14.
Yeah.
Connor, let's pick your first one or your favourite one. What would you recommend that the lady in one's life buy for the man who has just about everything?
Okay, well, I would say it depends on the man, but personally I like to fix things when they break. So if I was to want anything, I would probably go for the Sugru right now.
What is Sugru to the man who has never heard of it before?
Sugru is basically like Mala. It's like, you know, what you would have played with, like, basically what you would have played it when you were a kid, except that this time it hardens into a nice really, really hard rubber. So you're
for those listening outside of Ireland, this is Play-Doh equivalent, except Play-Doh. For the Paddy Irishman pre-1980s born. It comes in a kind of a coffee-beaned granule, kind of a sachet large bag. What can you use it for, your top three uses or things that you've used it for yourself?
Well, basically, you're able to use it to fix so many different types of things, you can use it to like make the grip better on your handlebars of your bike, for example, or you can even fix your shoes, or you can fix things that have broken, like ceramics as well, like the handle of your coffee cup or whatever. It's actually really, it's only limited by your imagination.
So if I had a favorite coffee mug and the handle broke off it, I can essentially make myself a Play-Doh version which turns into steel, new handle.
Well, you'd be able to fix the handle almost like super glue, except that it's actually harder and it would be more resilient, really, than super glue would.
Okay, next one on the list. I'm looking at this one for the camper. It's the Neon Glow Tent for those who are into electric picnics and Spirit of Folk festivals. Explain this one to me like I'm a 2-year-old.
Okay. Well, basically, we have just... it's made out of a thing called EL wire, electroluminescent wire. Very, very low voltage, same kind of technology as LEDs. Basically, it gives you a big, big string that just glows a certain color, and you're able to, for the tent kit, you're able to obviously outline your tent and put it up, so you'll be able to find it right in the middle of the darkness, like no matter where you are.
For those coming into the water exhibition, you will see an extremely large, 6-foot-tall, almost vortex of water, which is constantly running. We have a mini version, which is it's titled the Mini Water Vortex Lamp. I was almost pronouncing my W's as a German person there as them being a V. Explain this one to me.
This is just generally, again, it's a very simple kind of principle. Just uses a motor to create a vortex in the lamp itself. But what it has as well is LEDs underneath that illuminate it in different colors. So you're able to see it like reflecting and changing the light as the light moves through.
It retails at €25, which isn't bad value, actually.
I mean, you probably pay that much for any kind of other lamp anyway, you know.
May as well have a funky monkey one.
Exactly, might as well have a good one. Like,
one of the things I'm looking at here brings back really, 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 I don't know whether they're entirely happy, but childhood memories nonetheless. It is the sugar sachet that Brian is holding in his hand. No, it's not. It's the science kit. The problem I had with this one growing up was when I ran out of the bits I used to tend to make up my own. What is the science kit here?
This science kit, basically, it has loads of different experiments, like over 100 experiments that go from, they run the gamut from physics right through chemistry into biology. And it's like looking at nice, really kind of you know, small projects that you're able to do. So it's like, you know, making a car, like a racing car, for example, or making something that will fly for you. Even to being able to like look at different types of cells as well under the magnifying glass that you've got there as well. So
okay, you've got the ultimate for the Gorilla Gardener. It's the flower grenade, the throw and grow grenade. There's three in a box. Explain this one.
This was really interesting because generally it's based around the idea of, like, obviously an urban environment. But if you take one of these grenades that has seeds and so a little bit of a soil-based kind of thing.
Growing medium.
A growing medium is excellent. Basically, it's got that inside the grenade. If you take that up and chuck it into, say, like, you know, the middle of, like, an unused lot or, like, a derelict building on top of a derelict building or something, it's the idea is that flowers will start to grow out from that then wherever that lands. So it's trying to, like, instead of doing graffiti, it's, like, trying to graffiti grow plants as well, so...
We're going to split two ways here. We've got one for, I would suggest, maybe more so for the lady, but we have the, is it the bobble water bottle that I'm looking at?
Yeah, this is great. Obviously, it ties right into our show that we've got on right now, which is all about water. The bobble is a really nice new type of water bottle that you can reuse again and again. It's got a carbon filter built into it, so it filters the water as you drink it. Which means that you can always have pure water regardless of where your source is.
Have to say I'm a personal fan of the SIG Science Gallery branded water bottle myself. But moving back onto something a little bit better, different, maybe you might say, we have two books that I would highly recommend anybody have in their library. 101 Incredible Experiments for the Shed Scientist, and the second one, Connor, is?
The Elements, which is... says it's a visual exploration of every known atom in the universe. And this is actually very good because we used this book as a reference when we were working on the floor during the Elements exhibition itself. That was last summer. It's excellent. It's amazing, amazing illustrations and information. Very well written and very, very, very smart.
Okay, I'm looking at, finally, we've got two more. One, very quickly, is the Bungee Bird Feeder. You got to hang this out of your tree to see it is believing. And finally, it is the Clean Water Science. What is the Clean Water Science Experiment Kit?
So that's basically looking at how we're able to... looking at a smaller way of purifying water and basically testing the different types of chemicals that would be in it. So it's really something that's good for anybody who would be interested in all of the different properties of water that we're looking at in our show as well. So,
okay, folks, I have to say, if you do get a chance, come in here. The range is due to expand. The books are beyond belief, just ruddy amazing. And the T-shirts, I was out teaching in Balbriggan there a couple of weeks ago, and as soon as I walked in, the water exhibition T-shirt was what I was wearing. It was spotted away by the T-shirt. I honestly believe the credit that she gave me just as I walked in the door doubled, trebled, or quadrupled, more to the point. Connor, if people want to get in touch with the Science Gallery shop, how do they do so? How do they find you? How do they get in touch?
Email shop@sciencegallery.com, or if you want to order things online, you can use our online website, which is at www.sciencegallery.com.
And if people are walking in off the street, you've got a beautiful coffee shop here as well, I might add. You're seated directly opposite. You can only pick something up. If they want to drop in and get in touch with you, how do they do so?
We're just at the end of Trinity Campus, opposite Pierce Street Dart Station. If you're walking by, come on in. It's free entry, and we've got loads of things that will actually keep you occupied and entertained.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Connor. Appreciate it.
All right, no worries. Ooh, I made it to the grapevine, and I'm just
about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m., Dublin City FM.
Dublin City FM 103.2, and I'm just going to go back to one in particular there because it brings out the anarchist in me. The hand grenade that throw up on top of a building and it explodes of seed, and the seed just scatters, and then you can come back in, you know, February or March, and you can see crocuses and all sorts of plants. If that inspires you, I think you should get down to the Science Gallery and get me one.
Gorilla
get
gardening.
One for yourself while you're there.
Yeah, for those who want to try out gorilla gardening, that is the ideal gift. But it's absolutely amazing, Brian, the gifts that they do have that are garden related. And for kids who, I suppose, growing up, I would have been a bit dorky, is the easiest way to say it. Like, I had long hair, my music got me by because of, like, my Led Zeppelin, I liked the Doors and that kind of stuff. but it was a bit dorky because it was into plants and the range of gardening related outdoor-y stuff that they have there is phenomenal. Do you know they put a note out on their Facebook page, the Science Gallery Midweek, and it was, you know, you see these CSI Miami things and they bring in the bags of blood and they connect your man up to the drip. They have a version of one of them and it looks like a blood bag that you'd have, except it's, I think it's strawberry flavoured shower gel. Is what it is. So you hang it up in the shower. It's like the, it again. The thought that just goes into that shop is phenomenal.
Guerrilla gardening. There was a meme on some blogs. I think Jane Powers had this a couple of months back, and it was coming from people in blogging world in London saying that guerrilla gardeners don't know what they're doing and they're putting the wrong things in the right place and things like that, and they're killing ivy. And did you follow that at all?
No.
Have you done any guerrilla gardening yourself?
I think in Ballybottle was the best place where I did it, but it wasn't guerrilla gardening. It was more intended. I planted the banks of my ditch, what would be a normal shkyok hedgerow ditch. I planted it with daffodil bulbs.
I was thinking Anglo-Irish and AIB, and he's talking about the banks of his ditch.
The banks of my ditch, yes. And I planted that with daffs, and it's taken about 4 or 5 years. I planted them below the grass level, so they come up every year. And then as soon as the grass needs to be cut, they die back down. But it's just, it's unusual where, you'd know where my house is. And it's a bit, you know, when you see the four telegraph pole, I'm opposite the blue hedge on the right-hand side.
The water pump is the obvious.
Yeah, that's the bit where you've gone too far. Like, right. You know, no houses on the right-hand side, blah, blah, blah. What's yours look like? Well, it looks the same as everybody else's. It's just cream and it's in a field kind of thing. But in the middle of Feb, when you get to say to the courier or the postman, no, I'm just drive about a mile and a half up the way and you'll see the daffodils. That's the landmark of February.
Going to take the conversation back to the topic that the Sod Show has been covering.
Yes.
And that is the extreme camping that was done by one half of the Sod Show last weekend with five other people.
That would be the better looking half.
Yes, you went up the Wicklow Mountains and you went out in the extreme temperatures of about 0.1 degrees Celsius. But the wind chill was what hit you most. And I'm going to ask you, how did you get on, first of all?
Good, yeah. I think that old theory of there's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothing, really shone true. What amazed me was some of the stuff I'd never seen before. And I'll rephrase that, not seen before, just not used before. And to see it in practice, to have somebody tell you that that's good or you should buy one of them is absolutely brilliant. And there, people will tell you there are 50 variations of an outdoor coat. When you're camping with no tent in the wilds and winds are rushing through at 70 miles an hour and the rain is falling because of the wind speed, it feels like it's falling horizontal or parallel to the ground, and you're trying to cook dinner for five people. And that's the power of some of the kit that the lads in Millets Mary Street have, and it's absolute testament. And again, I double underline, we had no tents.
We're going to hear this on the Sod Show over the coming weeks. We're here next Friday, and then we're not here the Friday after, but we're going to hear it perhaps next Friday and then into January. The recordings, you took the microphones of the Sod Show with you and you got some good outdoor stuff.
Got some really good outdoor audio. I think the one thing I'll double underline is that it was amazing as we were coming out of the Wicklow Mountains, just coming in, and we knew there was a window between 4:05 and 4:25, where, as you'd be well aware if you're driving home this evening, it just hits pitch black at about 4:25.
Except for the moon last weekend.
But where we were, what I would say is we had a window of about 25 minutes where a decision had to be made to change where was the intended sleeping place. And we made a beeline for what was about 20 minutes away as versus what was 55 minutes away.
You changed base camp.
We had to. We had intended base camp. When we were walking up there, what was amazing was the amount of people who were going on a little bit of a romantic stroll in jeans and runners. And I'm going, we passed, Brian, at the summit of the Wicklow Mountains, we passed sheets of ice that were 3-4 inches thick and popsicles. The photographs are up on the blog, blog.donaghanlandscaping.com. Go check it out and you'll get a gist of what I'm talking about. But absolutely phenomenal. And when it went dark as well at night time, it just went absolutely pitch black. But I have to say, there were five experienced, very, very experienced campers on the go. We did cover, things that are hugely important, like the hypothermia and first aid, stuff like that as well. And again, I think it really does go back to fail to prepare, prepare to fail. But we had more than prepared for it.
Okay, I'm remembering that we have to go to Song of the Week.
Yes,
and we've got a John Lennon song this week, which in untraditional style of the Sod Show has got no pun and no connection to gardening, but you want to do an introduction on it.
Yeah, just I have to put a note out this week to family, friends, loved ones, past and looking to the future.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round.
Kayla was telling me it was the 1980 album Imagine that that was taken from, and it was his final studio album. John Lennon, watching the wheels go round, and was watching the wheel of the 5-inch CD going around there, hoping it would make it to the end because it was a little stuttery. I have to investigate my sources on that particular one. Back to this extreme camping, and I've got a question for you, and it goes back to the source of a lot of my thoughts on this, and that is, why the hell do you do it? And I'll phrase the question with regard to, you mentioned cult out at 1 a.m. in the morning, carol singing for charity.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's for a homeless charity or something. And I'm saying, would six people who are doing extreme camping not kind of do that, you know, with thoughts for maybe raising some money or something, if you're going to do something extreme like that, get sponsored to go up the Wicklow Mountains in the middle of the night and camp out in a plastic bag or whatever you were doing.
Yeah, well, what I'd say to you is we were... It's funny the things that go through your head at 2 o'clock in the morning when 70 mile an hour sub-zero winds wake you up. And the one thing we were saying was it's not like you have a team of a television crew next to you kind of go, right, we better get them out of here and book them into the hotel. I mean, once we were there, we were there. So to break the, I suppose, what is a lovely theory, I have no problem. And there are people in my life who... I would love to put out there and go, there you go. How's about that now? Whatever the case may be. But no. I think the way to separate it, Brian, is something like that is not really to be joked around with. Would love to do something like that. We'll do it again. I might just do it for charity. I think we needed to trial whether it would work or not. On a separate note, what I would say, I was talking to Aaron, who was one of the five or the other four who came on the Wild Camping Experience, and he told me that the lads from Phoenix FM had been in touch with them, Community Radio Phoenix FM, and I think what he's actually doing with them is he's giving them a whole load of sleeping bags and tents and other paraphernalia. I'm vague in the story, so don't want to get myself tripped up here, but that's what he's doing. I think the lads are doing a little bit of a sleep out on the streets again, not too entirely sure of what the crack is there, but again, I have to give credit to Millets Mary Street for going a little bit extra than just what we were doing, which is the wild camping. So I think, on the other hand, I think the books have been mildly balanced.
Okay, and how was my stand-in?
Una, yes, I have to say, Una, how are you if you're listening? Also, Aaron, Livia and Adam. Yeah, Una, very experienced outdoors
trekker. Una was the volunteer who came in via Twitter, but you had...
Came in via Anthony McGuinness, funnily enough. Yeah.
And you had first aider with you, and you had a scouting expert as well.
Adam would be involved in teaching the scouts. Amazing when you get talking to him. And the stories he'll tell you, and it's a funny thing. He was talking to me about hypothermia, and I said to him, you know, I'd be aware of what hypothermia is, but it is amazing how quickly your brain can just get bored to death. He spoke in a very, very eloquent and almost exciting kind of a way. Again, you'll hear this in the next couple of weeks when we do the Sideshow Wild Camping as a little bit of a mini series. But the fact that he kept me entertained talking about hypothermia, and I asked him about it, and he said, I'm used to talking to 12-year-olds, to 16-year-olds via the scouts, you know. So it was brilliant, like, you know, but characters is what you needed. Spirits high and people who knew what they were at. No Dawson. Not a place for a politician to be. I mean, if you're stuck out there and you don't get the decision made till 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody's going to get a bit of a dig.
As I put it to you during the week, it's like being that person on the pub quiz team who has to say, I know the answer to this question and we're going to go with that.
And nobody argues.
No, yes.
I mean, you know, it was amazing with 5 minutes light to go and you turn around and go, that's where we're camping, done, set it up.
Wild Camping, you'll hear the first installment of that next Friday on the Sod Show, going up to base camp, and we'll join you then. That's another half hour show. Show number 42, it's over.
Follow the hashtag Sod Show, by the way, and we'll talk to you later for a pint, hopefully. If we don't see you before then, we don't talk to you next week. Happy Christmas. No show on the 30th of December, by the way.
Yes, indeed. We'll be back in the new year after that one, so we'll see you next week.
Take care, folks. Have a great one. Bye. Your plan to make me do. Well, some other